Refugee, Joseph, pages 1 through 6. Berlin, Germany, 1938. Crack, bang. Joseph Landau shot straight up in bed, his heart racing. That sound, it was like someone had kicked the front door in, or had he dreamed it? Joseph listened, straining his ears in the dark. He wasn't used to the sounds of his new flat, the smaller one he and his family had been forced to move into. They couldn't afford their old place. Not since the Nazis told Joseph's father he wasn't allowed to practice law anymore because he was Jewish. Across the room, Joseph's little sister, Ruth, was still asleep. Joseph tried to relax. Maybe he'd been having a nightmare. Something in the darkness outside his room moved, with a grunt and a scuffle. Someone was in the house. Joseph scrambled backward on his bed, his eyes wide. There was a shattering sound in the next room. Ksh! Ruth woke up and screamed. Screamed her sheer blind terror. She was only 6 years old. Mama! Joseph cried. Papa! Towering shadows burst into the room. The air seemed to crackle around them like static from a radio. Joseph tried to hide in the corner of his bed, but shadowy hands snatched at him, grabbed for him. He screamed even louder than his little sister, drowning her out. He kicked and flailed in a panic, but one of the shadows caught his ankle and dragged him face first across his bed. Joseph clawed at the sheets, but the hands were too strong. Joseph was so scared he wet himself, the warm liquid spreading through his nightclothes. No! Joseph screamed. No! The shadows threw him to the floor. Another shadow picked up Ruth by the hair and slapped her. Be quiet, the shadow yelled, and it tossed Ruth down on the floor beside Joseph. The shock shut Ruth up, but only for a moment. Then she wailed even harder and louder. Hush, Ruthie, hush, Joseph begged her. He took her in his arms and wrapped her in a protective hug. Hush now. They cowered together on the floor as the shadows picked up Ruth's bed and threw it against the wall. Crash! The bed broke into pieces. The shadows tore down pictures, pulled drawers from their bureaus, flung clothing everywhere. They broke lamps and light bulbs. Joseph and Ruth clung to each other, terrified and wet-faced with tears. The shadows grabbed them again and dragged them into the living room. They threw Joseph onto the floor once more and flicked on the overhead light. As Joseph's eyes adjusted, he saw seven strangers who had invaded his home. Some of them wore regular clothes, white shirts with the sleeves rolled up, gray slacks, brown wool caps, work leather boots. More of them wore brown shirts and red swastika armbands of Adolf Hitler's stormtroopers. Joseph's mother and father were there too, lying on the floor at the feet of the brown shirts. Joseph, Ruth, Mama cried when she saw them. She lunged for her children, but one of the Nazis grabbed her nightgown and pulled her back. Aaron Landau, one of the brown shirts, said to Joseph's father, "You have continued to practice law despite the fact that Jews are forbidden to do so under the Civil Servants Restoration Act of 1933. For this crime against that, the German people, you will be taken to protective custody." Joseph looked at his father and panicked. "This is all a misunderstanding," Papa said. "If you just give me a chance to explain." The brown shirt ignored Papa and nodded at the other men. Two of the Nazis yanked Joseph's father to his feet and dragged him towards the door. "No," Joseph cried. He had to do something. He leapt to his feet and grabbed the arm of one of the men carrying his father and tried to pull him off. Two more of the men jerked Joseph away and held him as he fought against them. The brown shirt in charge laughed. "Look at this one," he said, pointing to the wet spot on Joseph's nightclothes. "The boy's pissed himself." The Nazis laughed, and Joseph's face burned hot with shame. He struggled in the men's arms, trying to break free. "I'll be a man soon enough," Joseph told them. "I'll be a man in 6 months and 11 days. The Nazis laughed again. 6 months and 11 days, the brown shirt said. Not that he's counting. The brown shirt suddenly turned serious. "Perhaps you're close enough that we should take you to a concentration camp too, like your father." "No," Mama cried. "No, my son is just 12. He's just a boy. Please don't." Ruth wrapped herself around Joseph's leg and wailed, "Don't take him, don't take him." The brown shirt scowled at the noise and gave the men carrying Aaron Landau a dismissive wave. Joseph watched as they dragged Papa away and the sounds of Mama's sobs and Ruth's wails. "Don't be so quick to grow up, boy," said the brown shirt. "We'll come back for you soon enough." The Nazis trashed the rest of Joseph's house, breaking furniture and smashing plates and tearing curtains. They left as suddenly as they had come, and Joseph and his sister and mother huddled together on their knees in the middle of the room. At last, when they had cried all the tears they could cry, Rachel Landau led her children to her room, put her bed back together, and hugged Joseph and Ruth until morning. In the days to come, Joseph learned his family wasn't the only one the Nazis attacked that night. Other Jewish homes and businesses and synagogues were destroyed all over Germany, and tens of thousands of Jewish men were arrested and sent to concentration camps. They called it the Night of the Broken Glass. The Nazis hadn't said it with words, but the message was clear. Joseph and his family weren't wanted in Germany anymore. But Joseph and his mother and sister weren't going anywhere. Not yet. Not without Joseph's father. Mama spent weeks going from one government office to another, trying to find out where her husband was and how to get him back. Nobody would tell her anything, and Joseph began to despair that he would never see his father again. And then, 6 months after he'd been taken away, they got a telegram. A telegram from Papa. He had been released from a concentration camp called Dachau, but only on the condition he leave the country within 14 days. Joseph didn't want to leave. Germany was his home. Where would they go? How would they live? But the Nazis had told them to get out of Germany twice now, and the Landau family wasn't going to wait around to see what the Nazis would do next.